put it under the cupboard at least.
Okay, Mrs. Andrews, for the purpose of biographical information, let me get from you your birthplace, the year that you were born, and a little bit about your mother and your father, where they were born, the types of occupations that each of them had.
Okay, I was born in Yoakum, Texas. And that was also my mother and father's. Mm-hmm. This Yoakum was our birthplaces too. Mm-hmm. I was born September 18th, 1918. Mm-hmm. And my father was a railroad man at Yoakum. Mm-hmm. He worked in the Southern Pacific shops. Mm-hmm. He died when I was just a small child. I imagine I was either 4 or 5. Mm-hmm. And my mother then, in 1927, moved to Kingsville. She married Daddy, the only Daddy I can remember, Joseph Harris Sr. Mm-hmm. And he had 4 children of his own. And so I was an only child coming into a ready-made family, mm-hmm. which I enjoyed very much. Mm-hmm. And Daddy also was a railroad man. He was a call boy for the Missouri Pacific.
Here in Kingsville?
Yes. Mm-hmm. So I've been here since 27. Mm-hmm. I was just a little girl when I first came.
Mm-hmm. Can you recall your grandparents, anything about your grandmother, your grandfather?
Yes, I can recall my grandmother's maiden name was Ella Gustav, G-U-S-T-A-V. Mm-hmm. And
is that German?
I think it is, mm-hmm. yes. And my grandfather's name was, that was her maiden name before she married. Mm-hmm. My grandfather was Sammy Wilson.
Okay.
And I don't have any idea what they did, you know. I was in college, in my first year of college, when my grandmother passed. Mm-hmm. My grandfather had passed years before. I don't recall really when he passed. Mm-hmm. On my mother's side. On my father's side, my father's father lived in Temple, Texas. Mm-hmm. And he was Will Davis, mm-hmm. his name was. Mm-hmm. And my father's mother's name was Diana. And mm-hmm. her last name was Davis, too, naturally.
Diana Davis?
Yes, mm-hmm. it was.
Okay, so in 1927 is when you moved to Kingsville.
Yes.
Did you attend school here in Kingsville?
I sure did.
Okay. Can you share a little bit about your school years here in Kingsville? What was it like?
Oh, I enjoyed it naturally. Mm-hmm. And there were 3 teachers at Douglas School then. There was a professor and Mrs. Sales. Mm-hmm. And my uncle's wife, her name was Susie B. Wilson. Mm-hmm. And, well, we enjoyed them. They were good teachers. And, of course, we had good times, mm-hmm. and bad times, naturally. Mm-hmm. And, well, I enjoyed it very much. Mm-hmm.
In 1927, after young blacks finished school here, where did they go to school? Where was their destinations in order to finish higher education?
Yes. Well, I tell you what. I went to Yoakum. Mm-hmm. That's where I finished high school, with my mother's mother, with my grandmother. Mm-hmm. And my two sisters went to Houston mm-hmm. to stay with mother's sister. Mm-hmm. And the boys finished here. Mm-hmm. And then the oldest boy went to Galveston. The youngest one went to Corpus Christi.
To finish high school.
Yes. A lot of the other kids went to Galveston, some of them. Some went to Houston. And some went to the grandparents in other parts of Texas. Some of the parents had to pay for them. Some of their children to go to Houston, Tillotson, that was at Austin. And different schools. Some went to the high school of Prairie View A&M. Mm-hmm.
Was school here in Kingsville only to the 10th grade, or could you go that far? Blacks.
Yes, students. I think we went to the 10th. Mm-hmm. I can't really remember everything about it, but we went to the 10th. Mm-hmm. We could not finish high school as such. Mm-hmm.
And that is when you left and went back to Yoakum.
To Yoakum with my grandmother.
And you finished high school there.
High school there. Uh-huh. And then I went to Prairie View A&M. Mm-hmm. That's where I went.
Can you remember roughly what year would that have been in?
What year?
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, I imagine it was, let's see, 31. Because I finished college in in May 40. So that would have to have been, finished high school, I believe, in 36. So that was probably 35.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And did you return to Kingsville after completing your college?
Yes.
Years.
In fact, mm-hmm. I returned every summer.
Really?
You know, I'd go for 9 months, and then we'd all come home for the summer. Mm-hmm. And during that time, any number, in fact, most of us went to college. Mm-hmm. We did. Mm-hmm. Sure did.
Did you start teaching at Douglas right after your return from college, or did you have some of the work that you did in between?
I started teaching September 40 at Douglas School. I sure did. Now, during that time, Felton Sales was principal. His wife also taught that. Mm-hmm. So the three of us were there. Mm-hmm. And that was so enjoyable.
So it was just the three teachers at that time.
It sure was.
And you taught how many grades between you?
Oh, dear, let's see. Well, I believe my first years were the first three grades, first, second, and third. Mm-hmm. And then Ernestine, that's Felton's wife, mm-hmm. I think she had fourth, fifth, and sixth. Mm-hmm. And then Felton taught the high grades. Mm-hmm. And you could finish high school mm-hmm. then, you know. Mm-hmm. Then later, about 2 years later, I taught fourth, fifth, and sixth. Ernestine had the first three grades. And I taught all of Felton's English. He taught my math. Mm-hmm. We exchanged classes like that. Mm-hmm. It was so enjoyable.
Now, are any of those teachers still alive today?
Yes, Ernestine and I are still living. Mm-hmm. Felton, of course, has passed away. Mm-hmm.
Ernestine lives where now?
In Tyler, Texas.
In Tyler, Texas.
Yes. Mm-hmm. We communicate often. We call each other and mm-hmm. things like that.
Okay. Is Douglas School where it is now in 1927?
Well, there was another building behind, behind where it is now. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of in front of the Wilsons' home. Mm-hmm. Do you remember where the Wilsons lived?
I sure don't.
You were too young, probably. Mm-hmm. Well, there were a large group of Wilson children. Mm-hmm. And they were situated right in front of the old building. Mm-hmm. Our building was identical to one that was in another part of town called Austin School. Mm-hmm. They were both built just alike, out of concrete, white concrete.
Mm-hmm. And where is that building located, Austin? Is it?
It's where the, where I believe the Cook Center is now.
I see.
Yes.
Were parents involved in their children's education back when you first started teaching?
Yes, to the best of their ability, they were. Mm-hmm. And, well, I'll just go so far as to say that all of them were very interested. Mm-hmm. Most of them were not educated people, mm-hmm. but they wanted their children to have an education. Mm-hmm. And they really did stand behind the teachers. Mm-hmm. If you did something at school, you knew that when you got home, you'd get another spanking. Mm-hmm. And Miss Sales was at Sunday school, and anything that you did at Sunday school, she was going to get you for it that week. Mm-hmm. Yes, I tell you.
Was there ever any difficulties with getting supplies, being a segregated school from the rest of the system here in Kingsville? Were there any problems ever getting books, textbooks, exams, et cetera, et cetera?
Well, when Ernestine Felton and I talked, we didn't have it. Mm-hmm. Felton would go up to the superintendent's office and get books or other supplies that we needed. Mm-hmm. Balls, bats, ropes, and those kind of things. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't really remember as a child, mm-hmm. You know, just what went on. Mm-hmm. I don't. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't know whether Professor Sales Sr. Mm-hmm. had any trouble or not.
There's been all types of speculation as to who was the first teacher in the black community. Do you have any idea who started up Douglas School? Who was responsible for our edge? What we know as Douglas School.
I'm sorry, but I just don't remember that. Mm-hmm. You'd probably have to ask some of the older people. Mm-hmm. For instance, Aunt Biggie, as we called her, mm-hmm. Mrs. Adams, mm-hmm. that lives over there on Fordyce. Mm-hmm. She could probably tell you everything, mm-hmm. because she's older and she would remember. Mm-hmm. Of course, when I came along, everything was already started. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So I wouldn't really remember.
Okay, so you went to Prairie View, finished your degree, came mm-hmm. back to Kingsville. What year did you marry?
I married in 41. Mm-hmm. Started teaching in 40, and I married in 41.
Mm-hmm. Your husband, Mr. Andrews?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
What, Charles Andrews?
Yes, was. Mm-hmm. He was born in Quarry. Mm-hmm. And, of course, he was reared by the Jamesons at Yoakum. Mm-hmm. The Jamesons were morticians. Mm-hmm. And my husband lived with them. They reared him. And he used to tell me a lot, said, Mr. Jameson would ask him, Charlie, do you want to be a mortician or a barber? And Charles told me, he said, well, it really doesn't matter, but I think I'd prefer being a barber. So that's what he was given, you know, mm-hmm. an education as being a barber.
Mm-hmm. Were the people that raised Mr. Andrews, were they black people?
Yes, they were. Mm-hmm.
And they were morticians. Mm-hmm. That was rare for that time, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. Mm-hmm. But they were very people who were well educated mm-hmm. and very good people morally. In fact, they were first family there in York. Mm-hmm.
Speaking of first families, my next question was going to be, who were some of the respectable families in Kingsville while you were growing up and after your return? In all communities, certain family names stick mm-hmm. out, whether they're affluent or not. Who comes to mind?
Well, there were any number of them. Mm-hmm. I think of the MacDowells, for instance. Mm-hmm. Mrs. MacDowell was teaching, I believe at Taft, Texas, I'm not sure. But she was teaching. Her husband was a deacon at Kingstar. Mm-hmm. The Carnells were first family people, too. Mm-hmm. Brother Carnell was also a deacon. And Daddy was a deacon, Joe Harris. Mm-hmm. And, just any number of people were. Mm-hmm. I can think of those now, but there were others. Mm-hmm. And I certainly don't want to slight anybody.
Right, I understand.
But it's kind of hard to.
I understand.
See, I'm 70 now, and it's hard for me to mm-hmm. think back mm-hmm. that many years.
Mm-hmm. What were the boundaries for the quarters back then?
Well, let's see. I don't remember. I know that where I'm living here now mm-hmm. was a barbershop. Mm-hmm. And the lady that was over it then was a Mrs. Nellie Brooks, her name was. Mm-hmm. Her husband's name was Floyd Brooks. Mm-hmm. She barbered here. Now, on the other street around there, on 3rd Street, mm-hmm. we also had a barber shop there mm-hmm. that belonged to my uncle. Mm-hmm. And there was a woman that was barbering over there. Her name was Mrs. Hattie Tibbis. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I don't remember any streets any farther up than Wesash. I think it was from Wesash back.
Mm-hmm. Back south?
Back south. Mm-hmm. Toward Douglas School.
Mm-hmm. Was that all built up back out around Douglas School, or was that pretty open field area?
Well, there were houses there. Down as far as Douglas, Professor Sales Sr. lived in the White House that's on the corner of the street close to the project. What is the name of that street?
Warren?
No, it's farther out than Warren.
Caesar,
mm-hmm. that's it. Mm-hmm. Okay. They lived in that big white house on the corner of Caesar and Second. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't remember, naturally, the projects wouldn't have been there then. I believe all of that was open country back at then. The, on Caesar, also, another affluent family was the Lofton family. Mm-hmm. Mrs. Wright's mm-hmm. parents. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the boundaries, as you recall them, were started here at Wesash and went back to Caesar South.
Yes.
How about west? How far did they extend out?
Oh, not too far west. I don't believe there were any altars when I was a kid. Farther west than Armstrong. Mm-hmm. Oh, yes, I forgot another family, too. That was the Nelson family. Mm-hmm. Louis Nelson. Mm-hmm. And I've forgotten Mrs. Nelson's name. But they were family, too. These things come to me.
Right. You're doing well.
I'm sorry.
You are doing extremely well.
Well, I'm glad. I'm trying.
How about back east? Was Third Street where it is today? Was it built up?
Well, it was just where it is today. Mm-hmm. Because over next to Third Street, east of Third Street, that's right across the street itself, mm-hmm. were some large... let's see, what were they? They had oil, I think, and things in them. Mm-hmm. Very large. Mm-hmm. And there were some sort of hills built up around them. Mm-hmm. Because as kids, I can remember, we'd like to go over there and run down the hill and come back up, you know. Mm-hmm. So they were large containers that had oil and different things. And then, of course, the shop was right where it is now, mm-hmm. the Missouri Pacific Shop. A lot of the blacks worked in the shops, and a lot of them were brakemen. Mm-hmm.
What did they do if they were not brakemen? What other occupations, jobs, ways to survive?
Well, I'll be frank with you. I only remember the Missouri Pacific Shops and the railroad, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. Men working on the trains and passenger and freight trains. Mm-hmm. And there were some farmers, I don't know about here at Kingsville. Mm-hmm. Oh, I'll tell you another family, it's coming to me. The Pullums were very well known, too. Mm-hmm. Okay. John Pullum Sr. and his wife. Mm-hmm. And, of course, he had a large group of children. Mm-hmm. Reverend Pullum is one of those now. Mm-hmm.
Did you, when one traveled into the quarters for the first time, you think they knew they were in the quarters? Was it something about it that let people know that you were in the black section of town?
Well, I don't know unless they saw black people mm-hmm. moving about, because the homes, the people lived well here. Mm-hmm. The blacks did. Mm-hmm. Very well. More than, you know, in the average place. Mm-hmm. And, of course, a lot of people flocked here. Because of the railroad, mm-hmm. and because they could make money and live well. Mm-hmm. A lot of money was made in this part of town.
Through the railroad for
through
blacks.
Through the railroad, yes. Mm-hmm. But I don't know of anything else people did. Mm-hmm. Naturally, we were a railroad family. Mm-hmm. And I don't remember people doing anything else.
Did you hear your dad talk much about the railroad when you were a child growing up?
Oh, sometimes, I mm-hmm. guess. I can remember him talking about the railroad.
Mm-hmm. Does anything come to mind in trying to recollect some of those things that he talked about, maybe?
Well, I can't say that I remember as a child. Okay. He did. Uh-huh. And but I'll tell you this. This is not related to what he talked about. Uh-huh. But we really enjoyed riding the passes because yes. we rode those free of charge. Uh-huh.
From Kingsville to Houston? Or yes. Was that anywhere the Missouri Pacific River?
That's right. Uh-huh. We did.
Did blacks work on the ranch?
The King's Ranch?
The King's Ranch.
Not that I know of. Mm-hmm. I've never known any to work.
So, in essence, blacks worked on the railroad. And
yes.
what appears to have happened, Hispanics worked on the ranch.
I imagine. Mm-hmm. I didn't know very much about the ranch then.
Are you familiar at all with Mrs. King's decision to have put in the contract with Missouri Pacific that black brakemen would be hired and worked on this end if the railroad was to come through Kingsville?
Well, I've always heard that. Mm-hmm. Yes, I've always heard that.
Mm-hmm. Why did she do that? Why did she... That was a very good gesture. Was there ever talk about what motivated her to do that?
No, it wasn't. Mm-hmm. Bye-bye. Bye, Jack. No, I've never... Well, the only thing I've heard people say is that she was not prejudiced, you mm-hmm. know, and she wanted the blacks to have a chance mm-hmm. at... you know, making money and living better, mm-hmm. just as other races.
Mm-hmm. Was Kingsville a very segregated town to live in, as you perceived it as a child growing up?
Yes, we were segregated, all right, mm-hmm. because we were here. There were three sections of town. There was the black section, and then the Anglo section, mm-hmm. and then the Hispanic section. Mm-hmm. When I was a kid, there were three different schools. The black kids went to the black schools. The Anglo kids went to the Anglo schools. And the Hispanics, you know, went to that school. Mm-hmm.
So, three distinct schools for three different groups?
Yes, during that time. Of course, that was back, you know, in the 20s and 30s. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Was there ever any racial problems in Kingsville between the groups?
Now, that I'm not sure of. I don't remember any. Mm-hmm. There might have been, but I don't ever remember any. Mm-hmm.
How about the Ku Klux Klan? Did it exist in Kingsville?
I don't ever remember even hearing about the Klan. Mm-hmm. They could have, mm-hmm. but I don't remember it.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk a little bit about the businesses in King, the black-owned businesses in Kingsville, Mrs. Andrews. When you were a child growing up in 1927, I know all children used to like to run to the store and buy cookies
yes.
and candies. Mm-hmm. What businesses were here in the quarters owned by blacks?
Yes. Blacks? Mr. Wickham, W.W. Wickham, mm-hmm. had a store not too far from your Aunt Catherine's over there. Mm-hmm. And, of course, his children, we loved to run over there. Spend our pennies and nickels. Mm-hmm. And Mr. Beal, also, I can't think of Mr. Beal's first name. He had an ice cream parlor, we called it. Mm-hmm. That was, let's see, where was that? Do you know where King Star is?
Yes.
Well, going on Fordyce Street, along that where those houses are behind King Star, mm-hmm. he had... an ice cream parlor there. And we used to love to go over there and get ice cream cones. Mm-hmm. Down farther, let's see, I can't remember what street it was on. There was a barbecue pit, and I'm trying to remember the man's name that had it. Also, Aunt Georgia Brooks. She was, but she was a Hines during that time. Mm-hmm. She had barbecue for sale. And don't leave out Brother Carnell. He had barbecue pits, so as long as I can remember. He also worked in the Missouri Pacific shops. And let's see. Oh, there was an old fella across the street from us. We lived on Fordyce around there. The house is still there. My mother sold.
Quite a few black-owned businesses.
Yes.
How about on Wasatch Street back then? What businesses existed on this street?
Well, across the street over there, I can't remember when that place was built. But across the street now, I own that on the corner there. It was a barbecue place back then, and that place, well, it was a restaurant, really. That place belonged to B.T. Hollis and his wife. My husband bought that later. But there was a store there, a little restaurant. And I don't remember, I was a kid, but I don't remember what was up the street where that day and night is now. I just don't remember.
How about on 2nd Street here? What businesses were along this this avenue?
Well, I don't remember any until my husband built the cleaners and the barber shop.
And what year was that?
Oh, dear. Now you're getting into something because I'm not good at dates at all.
Just roughly. 60s, 50s.
Let's see. I had my husband came here as a barber. And, well, he must have built the barber shop first. That must have been in the 40s. Yes.
And is that the barbershop that still stands today?
Yes, but of course it didn't look like that. It was a little wooden building, you know, just straight. And it didn't hold very many people. It wasn't anything like it is today. And, of course, over on this corner way has the cleaners. That was a tavern that belonged to Ike Humphrey. And my husband finally bought that.
Okay. Share with us a little bit about...
wait a minute. There was also... You know where my mother's house is right there?
I sure do.
That was a little restaurant. And, well, at first there was a home there that belonged to the Hamiltons. And then... It was a restaurant belonging to a Mr. Johnson.
Okay.
And my husband bought that.
That used to be a little, we used to call it a little drugstore.
Yes, it was.
Now, I can't recall, but were there drugs sold there, or was it basically just a little ice cream parlor restaurant?
I think it was just that. Now, there might have been drugs sold there, but I'm not sure. I think it was just called that.
How about other black businesses, professions? Do we have any doctor? Have we ever had any doctors in the quarters? Black?
I've never known any.
Lawyers?
No, I've never known that.
Morticians?
No. But we did have William Thompson. He was more or less a politician, and he lived, I believe, around there next to your Aunt Kitty's, somewhere over there. That's right, he had a tailor shop. I'd forgotten that.
Okay.
Where he pressed clothes. You know, this Thompson's Park is named for him.
Okay.
Yes.
Let's talk a little bit about, go back and talk a little bit, Mrs. Andrews, about the building of some of the black-owned businesses here. When I say building them, I'm not speaking of the physical. How did blacks come about financing their black businesses? Was it difficult for them to go to the banks, Claiborne Bank and some of the other banks that existed here, to get loans in order to build their bank, their businesses, or was that not a problem?
Well, I imagine it was. I know when my husband built these businesses that he did go to the banks to have those financed.
With no problems, because he lived in the quarters, because he was black. No problems at all.
Oh, yes, there are always problems if you're black, you know. And especially at that time. But he managed to build them and to get loans from the bank.
I understand you talked about Mr. Will Thompson as being a politician. I understand your husband was pretty active in the community also.
He was.
Would you share a little bit of that with us?
Well, he worked with, he and Otis West and Dr. Reisner worked to get different places open around here, like the bowling alley and things like that. And, of course, my husband had much more nerve than I do. We were coming from Cuero one night, and at that time, the drive-ins were not open for blacks. And as we drove along, he said, you know, I'm going in this driveway to see if I can't drive in, at least see if I can't see the picture too. And I asked him, I said, please don't do that, we don't want any trouble, because I was in the school system here. He said, well, I'm going in, they don't have but one thing to tell me, and that is that I can't go. And really and truly he went in, and we looked at the picture. And of course, afterward, he talked with the man, and he said, well, Andrews, it's all right if you come. But my husband told him, he said, no. See, I came tonight testing, he said, but I don't want to go unless the rest of the blacks can go. And I remember the man telling him, he said, well, you know, we don't want a lot of ragged cars out here. And my husband told him, he said, well, I'd like to tell you something. Most of those blacks have better looking cars than a lot of these others. Because they're making money, you know. And so, well, anyway, they got Mr. West, Dr. Reisner, and Charles did a lot of that. My husband also, well, I don't like to, you know, he was my husband. I don't like to brag a lot about that. But he got this street paved here.
Second Street?
Yes, he did. And, well, any number of things. These businesses, he opened those, and he had 8 barbers over in the barbershop here beside himself. And he worked around 27 people over in the cleaners at that time. Most of them being Hispanics. And he had 2 or 3 whites and maybe 2 or 3 blacks. I know you don't remember, but I imagine your mother and your aunt, I know they remember Bernice Sires. Mm-hmm. She was black. Mm-hmm. And she worked over on the cleaners for my husband. Mm-hmm. And she was really one of the best employees he's ever had. Mm-hmm. She really had the business on it. Mm.
Did blacks in the community patronize your husband? Or did many of them go outside of the community? Did they, and I guess my question is, did blacks support blacks?
Well, I'll be frank with you. They didn't really support my husband. Mm-hmm. My husband's clientele came from Hispanics and Anglos. Mm-hmm. But some of them did. I can't say all of them didn't. Mm-hmm. But not too many.
Mm-hmm. Why didn't they support him?
Now, that's a $64 question, I wonder. Mm-hmm. Because he gave good work. Mm-hmm. And good service. The others came, but I don't know. I'm not sure why they didn't. I've often wondered, you know. Mm-hmm.
If we look at the quarters today and look around for black-owned businesses, we have only one standing today. What happened? What's happened to our businesses, our black-owned businesses?
I don't know. I realized I should have kept the cleaners open, mm-hmm. but it was just too painful. Mm-hmm. After Mr. Andrews was electrocuted over in the cleaners, I locked the door that very same day.
I got some marbles.
Okay. And it hadn't been open since. The barbershop stayed open as long as he lived to also close that. Mm-hmm. Because it was just too painful for me. And another thing, I was teaching. That was a full-time job. Mm-hmm. I did not have time to look after these businesses. In fact, I really didn't know how to run them. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know of anyone that would have run them for me. Mm-hmm. So I just thought it was best to close them and concentrate on my job. And that's what I did.
Mm-hmm. What year did you retire from teaching?
In 79. Mm-hmm. Mr. Andrews was electrocuted in 78. Mm-hmm. And of course, you know, my son Chuck was electrocuted also, mm-hmm. trying to save his dad. Mm-hmm. And of course, he stayed in Houston at, what is the name of this hospital? It's well known there. Well, at first he went to Del Oro. Mm-hmm. And then he ended up at Methodist.
Mm-hmm. In Houston?
Yes. When he came out of Methodist, he was their own mother, and mother was an elderly person. Mm-hmm. Not too well herself. She had a heart condition. I started to retire the same year that Mr. Andrews was electrocuted, but a friend of mine, Leora Wright, told me, she said, you need to teach another year to get yourself straight. Mm-hmm. So I did. But Chuck had to stay with mother. Mother was too old. Mm-hmm. And I knew it was time for me to come home and to take charge of him. Mm-hmm. Because he was young, mm-hmm. just 17, and it was really too much for mother. Mm-hmm. So I retired and came home, mm-hmm. to take care of him.
Did you retire from Douglas, or had Douglas been desegregated and moved on? The students from Douglas moved on to other schools at the time.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I had been teaching at Douglas. But later, they built this school over here, Harrell. Mm-hmm. And so I went from Douglas to Harrell. All the teachers did. Mm-hmm. Sam Harris was principal there. Mm-hmm. And after Douglas, then we had what was known as clustering, mm-hmm. in the school system. So I went from Harrell to Mac Roberts, mm-hmm. and that's where I retired from. Mm-hmm.
What year did they close Douglas?
Oh, dear. I just don't remember, really. I should, but I don't. Since I've been ill and down, not making excuses, I can't remember dates a lot now. Mm-hmm. I've forgotten so much.
Oh, you're doing well. You really are. I just appreciate you taking the time and energy to give the interview. Mm-hmm. Let's talk a little bit about the family life in Cheanesville. As far back as you can remember, and were families in Kingsville always nuclear type family, the mom, the father, the children, or did we see single mothers trying to raise children? Did we see children staying with grandparents? What was the family structure like?
Well, as far as I can remember, the family structure was very strong. Mm-hmm. That we had the father, the mother, and the children. Mm-hmm. And of course, there were some widows, you know, with children. Mm-hmm. And maybe there were some grandparents, I don't remember, with children. But more or less, it was a family. Mm-hmm. With both parents and the children.
Mm-hmm. Was that more the norm?
Yes, it was.
Mm-hmm. And how did blacks in the community treat different family structures? Did they accept them?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Young ladies that would move into Kingsville with a child or unmarried wouldn't have any problem or problems being accepted?
Not that I know of.
How about the relationship with the Navy base? How has it been down through the years? Again, speaking about the quarters here, has it been one that that's always stood on good turf, or have we had rocky periods?
Well, as far as I can remember, the relationship was good. Mm-hmm. I don't know very much about the Navy base. Mm-hmm. My husband could have told you. Mm-hmm. More or less, I mean, it's a one-sided thing. Mm-hmm. But I've always been interested in my career. You know? Mm-hmm. And I didn't know my husband knew everybody in town. Mm-hmm. In South Texas, just about everybody knew him, mm-hmm. naturally. But I guess maybe I was selfish. I don't know. I just never did. Well, I was just a different person from him. Mm-hmm. He was very friendly and outgoing. And I've always been sort of quiet. Mm-hmm. And I've never associated a lot. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But he was just opposite.
Did black sailors come to the community to trade with your husband?
Yes.
Cleaners, barbershop?
Yes, they did. Mm-hmm. And at one time, of course, that was years ago, my husband had this barbershop over here, and it was fixed. It looked very nice inside. Mm-hmm. And he had a machine that played music. Mm-hmm. And we would let the kids of the community come and dance every Saturday night. Mm-hmm. And of course, Leola Wright, Vera Conrad, and I would always be there, mm-hmm. to chaperone the kids. Mm-hmm. So a lot of the girls now will tell me, they said, Ms. Andrews, I told my daughter when we were kids, we had somewhere to go. And kids do need places to go. Mm-hmm. We criticize them about going in these taverns, which I think is terrible too. Mm-hmm. But they do need a place of their own to go. Mm-hmm. Because when you're young, you want to, you know, mm-hmm. dance and do other things. Mm-hmm. And you need a place of your own. Even now, we need somewhere for the young people to go.
has it, from the time that you taught up to the time you retired, did you see the children changing, teaching them? And if so, what about teaching children and children changed over that period of time?
Well, I think children have become more independent. And, I don't really know. Mm-hmm. I haven't noticed a change in them. Mm-hmm. I guess it's because I've always loved children. Mm-hmm. And although I had taught only black children at Douglas, mm-hmm. but at Harold and Mac Roberts, I had all three races. Mm-hmm. And to me, the only difference in children is the color of the skin, because basically their needs are the same. Mm-hmm. I've never found it mm-hmm. hard to work with them. Children are basically good, all of them. I've always said there are no bad children. Mm-hmm. They're just children with problems. Mm-hmm. Really.
The transitional period from the closing of Douglas and moving into the other schools in town for black teachers, was that without problems? Were black teachers accepted on that first day, that first week?
Yes.
Into schools like Harrell and McRoberts?
That's right. Mm-hmm. I've never had any trouble. Mm-hmm. And I don't think any other black teachers would tell you that they have.
Was that a pretty nervous time for you?
Yes, naturally. Mm-hmm. You feel like you want to be accepted, first of all. Because if a child does not accept you, he's not going to learn very much. Mm-hmm. I know one of the first years that I taught over at Harrell, there was a doctor at the college, and he had a little boy. I was teaching fourth grade then. Mm-hmm. A little boy about nine. And he brought the kid in, and he sat down. And he took one look at me and started crying. Naturally, I didn't know what it was all about. And, of course, the doctor stayed until after the kids had gone out to pee. Mm-hmm. And he said, "Ms. Andrews, there's nothing in the world wrong with you. Say, this is the first time he has ever associated with black people." Mm. Well, that I could understand.
But he looked at you and started crying.
Yes. And then before, I'd say in about a month, he was one of my best friends. Mm-hmm. Oh, he'd just stay on my desk. I'd have to make him sit down. You know? But you just had to know how to work with him.
Did he ever talk about his first experience with a black person?
I think I was the first experience. Mm-hmm.
Did he talk about it with you?
Yes, we talked about it. Mm-hmm. He had told me that I was trying to remember where he was from. But anyway, it was from Georgia or someplace like that, you know, where the blacks and the whites didn't meet mm-hmm. much. And he just told me that he'd never been around black people before. Mm-hmm. And the cutest thing, I must tell you this, I was teaching, and over here at Harrell, and teachers had P.E. periods. Mm-hmm. So that time I had my P.E. period with some of the kinders and first graders. Mm-hmm. And there was one little angel girl that was standing next to me. "Now you must go in there." Standing next to me. Mm-hmm. And she was holding my hand. We were playing some type of ring play. Mm-hmm. And I noticed she kept rubbing my hand. And then she'd look at her. And finally, I had to explain. I said, "Darling, it won't come on. That's my natural color." But that was the cutest thing I thought.
And this was a little Anglo girl?
Yes. And she didn't mean a bit of harm. She was about six, I imagine. Mm-hmm. And she just rubbed my hand. Then she'd look. She wanted to see if it was going to come off, you know.
How about the
kids do the cutest things, you know.
How about the little Hispanic children? Did you have any experiences like that with them?
Right? No, I didn't. Mm-hmm. They are the most, all kids are lovable. Mm-hmm. But they are the most affectionate. Oh, they want to kiss you and hug you all the time. You know? Mm-hmm. I always, when I was teaching at Mac Roberts and Harold, I had less black kids, you know, than any others. Mm-hmm. They give me maybe two or three blacks, not over that. And the rest of the kids would be Anglos and Hispanics. Mm-hmm. But it didn't matter. Mm-hmm. I still enjoyed them. And they enjoyed me.
Mm-hmm. How important was the church in the black community?
Oh, when I was coming up, it was everything. Mm-hmm. Gladys Thomas and I often talk about that every time the church door would open, we'd be on the front seat up there, all the kids, you know. Mm-hmm. That's why they put us in those days. Mm-hmm. All the kids on the front seats. And, of course, Daddy was a deacon, and Mother worked in the church. She worked in the BTS, it was called that, mm-hmm. and the Sunday school. And we had to go to Sunday school. We had to go to BTS. We had to go to just everything, really. Mm-hmm. Prayer meeting. Teachers meeting, just everything. We were right up there on the front seat. Mm-hmm. So really, it has always been important. I think it's that way, you know, in most places. I don't know about now, mm-hmm. but the church was really important.
Mm-hmm. In terms of the family, black families in the quarters, did the church have more clout than, say, the school education teachers?
I think so. Mm-hmm. When I was a kid. Because that's been 70 years ago. Mm-hmm. That's a long time. But the church just meant everything to us. Mm-hmm. It did.
Where were our major churches located back then? Can you recall?
Yes, well, King Star was right across the street. You know where they park the cars now? Well, King Star was there when I was a kid. Mm-hmm. And, of course, they sold the old church, the lumber, when they tore it down, and then they built this new one across the street there. Mm-hmm. But when I was a kid, we had it was made of wood, and it was right next to the Morrises right there. Mm-hmm.
Was King Star the only black church in the community at that time, or did we have...
No, we had Scott's Chapel. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure about this other one. Mm-hmm. The one where Reverend Simon is. Mm-hmm. Yes, that was a church too, mm-hmm. because I can remember that when I was a child. Mm-hmm. Mrs. Baker was right across the street from her. Mm-hmm. And that's another very affluent family.
Bacons?
Yes, the mm-hmm. Bacons, the B.W. Bacons, mm-hmm. at that time.
Did children then have much say-so about whether or not they were going to go to church, or was that just a known fact? You were going to go to church.
You had very little say about anything back then, mm-hmm. when I was a kid. Mm-hmm. You were told what to do, you did it. Mm-hmm. Nothing else. Mm-hmm. I knew we had to go. Mm-hmm. All kids did. And you went, whether you enjoyed it or not, mm-hmm. you went there and you were quiet. Whether you enjoyed the services or not, you were there.
Did you ever hear of any family feuds while growing up and later in your adult years here in the quarters?
Feuds?
Families squabbling, fighting with each other, much like what we look at some of the Hatfield and McCoy type.
We didn't have that type, no. I imagine there were misunderstandings between people. Mm-hmm. Between families, I don't know.
Mm-hmm. But nothing...
No, nothing that outstanding. Would, no.
Who had the largest family in Kingsville?
Oh, dear. You mean when I was a kid? Or later?
At when you were a kid and later, if you can recall, draw from both.
Well, there were five of us.
About Mrs. Andrews, mm-hmm. is, of course, the railroad industry, and whether or not you know anything about the CT of A. Did your father, or did you hear any of the railroad men talk about the colored trainmen of America?
Well, I know this. At one time, I can remember when I was very young, they brought Thurgood Marshall here.
Really?
Yes. Mm-hmm. To talk with them and to try to reason with them. Because for a long time, people had been trying to get, you know, the black railroad men mm-hmm. to join the union. Mm-hmm. And most people felt that it was because they wanted to get into, you know, the brakemen. They wanted to be brakemen, too. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the older brakemen didn't want, you know, to join the union. Mm-hmm. And as I told you, they brought Thurgood Marshall here, and he talked with them, and things rocked on. Mm-hmm. So... I don't know very much about the CTLA. Mm-hmm. I don't.
Mm-hmm. Did Thurgood Marshall advise him to join the union, as you recall?
Or? No, he didn't want them to. Mm-hmm. Because everybody knew that as soon as they joined the union, you know, that these jobs were going to be taken away from them. Mm-hmm. They were going to have to share, you know, with other races. Mm-hmm. But some of them just, they were determined. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Was your dad active in the CT of A?
I don't know. Back then, I don't even remember. Mm-hmm. But it was later that I remember when they brought Mr. Marshall here. Mm-hmm. But back when I was a kid, I don't ever remember Daddy talking about.
Mm-hmm. Was
I don't even know what they had it about. Mm-hmm.
If they had the CT of A back
I'm
when your
sure.
dad was. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Did the brakemen, the black brakemen, fight amongst themselves over this decision that needed to be made?
I don't really know. Mm-hmm. I don't really know.
Did the wives and women in the community have auxiliary organizations that worked alongside the railroad men?
I'm not sure about that either. Mm-hmm. I don't remember them having that when I was a kid. Mm-hmm. And later, I'm sure they did. Mm-hmm.
Do you recall women ever working in the industry, in the shop?
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, I just remember that they worked over in the shop. I don't know what type of work they were doing. Mm-hmm. But there were a number of women that worked over there. Mm-hmm. Now, as I said, I don't know anything about, you know, what they were doing. Mm-hmm. But I know they were over there. Mm-hmm.
Did the women of Kingsville have any type of knitting clubs or book clubs? Again, we're speaking of in the black community here that you remember.
No, I can't remember any. What else? I sure can't. They may have. Mm-hmm. But I don't remember.
How long had the cemetery been segregated? As far back as you can remember?
As far back as I can remember.
In the area of medicine, we're looking at folk medicine. And for many, many families in South Texas, Hispanics in particular, a lot of herbal medicines, potions, if you will, are used. Mm-hmm. Was that ever practiced in the black community?
Not that I know of. Mm-hmm. Now, I can remember in my family, Daddy would do what he called a spring cleaning up. Mm-hmm.
What was
bring
that?
Bring them in, baby. Sherry, I heard the doorbell.
That's Jay.
Oh, dear God. And he'd give us, and when spring would come, mm-hmm. he would give us some type of medicine that he called blue mass. Mm. He'd roll it. It was something, some type of mixture that he'd roll, and some type of white powder. Mm-hmm. And you couldn't eat beforehand, mm-hmm. Afterward. Mm. You'd have to wait till the next day. And we hated it.
What would it do?
I just clean you out. Oh. That's what he said. He called it clean you out. Clean. Everybody's going to have to take it. But he and Mother didn't take it. But we had to.
That was a little suspect, wasn't it?
I tell you.
Now, was it a plant?
No, it was some type of mixture. Mm-hmm. It looked horrible. Mm-hmm. It was navy blue. And they take it and roll it into powder or something. Mm-hmm. And we'd have to take it.
Mm-hmm. Can you?
So we all hate. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
We hated to see spring come.
Did you feel better after the cleaning out?
I couldn't see why I did. No, I think it was just an old tradition. Mm-hmm. Not that it helped you any.
Can you remember any of the others that was used?
Black drought. Mm. Oh, I hated it. Mm-hmm. And castor oil. Mm-hmm. I always said if I ever had any children, I would not make them take castor oil. It was just horrible. But people were like that back then. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Did you see any of those remedies borrowed from the Hispanic group, Mexican American culture?
I don't know. Mm-hmm. To be frank with you, I really don't. Mm-hmm.
When you were started teaching in the segregated schools, did you see any of that practice?
Pardon me, please.
Sure.
Did I see the practice of using
herbal
medications?
Remedies, any type of folk medicine, any type of...
No, well, one thing, when I was teaching, you know, they didn't allow us to administer medicine to kids. Mm-hmm. Now, back when I was a kid, they could. Mm-hmm. They could give you medicine. Mm-hmm. But we couldn't.
None of the children came to school with little sacks tied around their neck with garlic or...
That's fitty, as they call it.
Right.
Well, yes, I've seen that. Mm-hmm. But that's the one thing my parents did not do. Mm-hmm. I don't think I could have taken it, you know. Mm-hmm. But we still got the blue mask every spring.
What about for coughs? What did the old people use for coughs? They couldn't go to...
What did they use? Well, we use cough drops. That's all I know. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And wait a minute. My grandmother, when I was in high school, would take lemons and cut them into slices. Mm-hmm. She'd boil that in water and sugar until it made a type of syrup. And then you had to take that. And it didn't taste too good, really.
And what was that good for?
Coughs and colds. And they stayed on aspirins a lot. Nowadays they tell us it's not good.
Anything for headaches other than aspirin?
Let me see. There was something, I believe they were called BC headache powder. They were in a little paper. And you take the, it was horrible. So bitter, but it would stop your headache. Of course, you people are too young to know about BC.
Well, I remember the BC and Coke. My aunt used to always send me to the store when I was a little boy for BC and Coke. And she'd take that Coke and put that BC in it, powder in it, and drink it on down, and she was like new.
Good. Or she's your Aunt Kitty.
My Aunt Kitty and my Aunt Mary.
Oh, yes.
They all believed in BC and Coke.
Oh, yes.
Okay. All right. Mrs. Andrews, I'd like to ask you at this point if there are any areas that you would like to discuss, anything that you'd like to share with those individuals that will probably go out and listen to this tape and read the transcripts.
I think about it after you've been gone about an hour or so. That's usually the way I do. Not that I know of.
Would you advise anyone to move to Kingsville to live?
To live now? I don't think I would. Because jobs are so hard to find. And as far as the town is concerned, it's all right. But jobs are really hard to find here. And I would advise them to go, you know, somewhere else. Now, my daughter left here a number of, in fact, all the young people practically that are Sherry's age, Sherry's 25, left Kingsville because they couldn't find jobs. And I would advise, you know, you that if you really wanted a job and you wanted to make progress, I would not advise them to come here.
Have we always had to send our young, talented blacks out of Kingsville to make it?
In the early years we did. But now that A&I is open, they can go here.
And after they finish they leave.
Yes, most of them do. Mm-hmm. Some of them stay here and they, I get worthwhile jobs, but others would just rather go some other place.
Did black people ever do what whites did in terms of color? Did blacks make a difference between black, light-skinned blacks?
Yes. I don't know about in Kingsville. Mm-hmm. I don't ever remember in Kingsville mm-hmm. them making a difference. Mm-hmm. But when I went to Prairie View A&M, that was really a difference.
Really?
If you were light-skinned, it may sound strange, but you got along much better. Mm-hmm. If you were brown, you got along all right.
Today mm-hmm. is on tomorrow.
Be a sweet boy. Huh? Do you want some crackers? But if you were dark, mm-hmm. I mean real dark, you had a hard time. Mm-hmm. That sounds strange in this day and time, mm-hmm. but it was the way it was then. Mm-hmm. And I think it was like that up until this, what do we have, Black is Beautiful. Mm-hmm. That's when things really changed.
But you didn't see any of that in Kingsville?
No, I didn't, really. Mm-hmm. No, I never did see that here. Mm-hmm.
Did the people make a difference in children that were from mixed marriages? Or did they accept them?
I'll be frank with you. Back when I was a kid, you didn't have that. Mm-hmm. If you did, there were none here. Mm-hmm. We didn't have any mixed marriages then. Mm-hmm.
How about children born from a couple that was from different cultural races? Were they accepted?
I imagine so.
You never really saw any real problems.
No, I didn't. Because there was a Caldwell family that lived at Bishop, but they came over here for church. And all of them looked Anglo. Mm-hmm. Teresa was blonde even. Mm-hmm. And nobody ever made a difference. Mm-hmm. We didn't even think of it. I've thought about it since I've been grown up. Mm-hmm.
You've thought about
treated differently.
Mm-hmm. You've thought about her.
That the people didn't make them any difference. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But during the time, we she was just Teresa, mm-hmm. like the rest of us. Mm-hmm. They had a large family.
When you were a child growing up, what were some of the games that children played?
Oh, we played ring plays. We played basketball. Mm-hmm. In fact, when I was in Yoakum, I played on the basketball team.
Really? What were some of the types of music that was popular back then? Can you remember any of the
I remember in the 30s some of the music.
Okay.
Oh, what was it? My goodness. I hear some of them now, even. Mm-hmm. I was just trying to think. There was one song called Love Letters in the Sand.
Okay.
There was another one called Blue Moon. Mm-hmm. All of those I can't really think of all of them now.
Okay. How about movies? Can you recall any of the top movies that came out in the theaters back when you were a child?
I really can't. Mm-hmm. There were so many. But we weren't allowed to go unless some grown-up took us. Mm-hmm. And that was very seldom you could find them. But we did go to the school, and they didn't allow us to dance. But one of the teachers played a march. Mm-hmm. And we held hands and marched inside the building.
And that was the teacher's way of getting you guys around, not mm-hmm. being able to dance?
That's right. We didn't dance. Mm-hmm.
Why not?
Well, they were just too religious, you know. Mm-hmm. They did not believe in dancing. Mm-hmm. Of course, I can't see a thing in the world wrong with it. Mm-hmm.
Were there other restrictions placed on the children by their religion other than mm-hmm. dancing? Could you play games, cards, dominoes?
No card games. Mm-hmm. No domino. Mm-hmm. None of that. Mm-hmm.
Did children ever rebel? Did they ever sneak behind their parents' backs?
Well, certainly they did. Uh-huh. But you didn't rebel. Mm-hmm. Because you'd probably be murdered if you did.
Be murdered?
You were told what to do, and you did it. Mm-hmm. As my mother used to say, as long as you are under my roof, mm-hmm. you're going to do what I say do. Mm-hmm. And we knew that. Mm-hmm. So, we did it.
Was there a difference made in this town, in this community, between the different classes? Families that didn't have the wealth, the income from the railroad industry. Were there differences made in the people?
Not that I know of. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. No.
Okay, Miss Ann Sandrews, I certainly appreciate you.
Well, I'm just glad. I've been very glad to be able to give this to you.
Great. Oh, we certainly appreciate it.
I hope you found something you can use.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And what I've said. Mm-hmm.
I think each time we tape one of these interviews,
yes.
It's important because many people have this information in their heads and they've never taken the time to write it down. And this is our way of trying to mm-hmm. capture the past here in Kingsville,
yes.
as it relates to the black citizens and how they related.
Have you interviewed Mrs. Wright?
Mrs. Wright, no, we have not.
She would probably be able to eat.